First Kings, chapter 22, and I read. For 3 years, Syria and Israel continued without war, but in the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us, and we keep quiet and do not take it out of the hand of the king of Syria?" And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle with at Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Verse 5. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go to battle against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here another prophet of the Lord of whom we may inquire?" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. But I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Verse 9. Then the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes, at the threshing floor, at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, made for himself horns of iron and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets prophesied so and said, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Verse 13. And the messenger who went to summon Micaiah said to him, "Behold, the words of the prophet with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak." And when he had come to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" And he answered to him, "Go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his home in peace." Verse 18. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he will not prophesy good concerning me but evil?" And Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing beside him, on the right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said one thing, and another said another." Then the spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, saying, "I will entice him." And the Lord said, "By what means?" And he said, "I will go out and will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets." And he said, "You are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go out and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets. The Lord has declared disaster for you." Then Zedekiah, son of Chenaiah, came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, "How did the spirit of the Lord go from me to speak to you?" And Micaiah said, "Behold, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide yourself." And the king of Israel said, "Seize Micaiah and take him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him meager rations of bread and water until I come in peace." And Micaiah said, "If you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me." And he said, "Hear, all you peoples." Verse 29. And so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you wear your robes." And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariot, fight with neither small nor great, but only the king of Israel. And when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is surely the king of Israel. So they turned to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And when the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. But a certain man drew his bow and at random and struck the king of Israel between the scale armor and the breastplate. Therefore he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and carry me out of the battle, for I am wounded. And the battle continued that day. And the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians until at evening he died. And the blood of the wounded flowed into the bottom of the chariot. And at about sunset, a cry went through the army, every man to his city and every man to his country. Verse 37. So the king died and was brought to Samaria. And they buried the king in Samaria. And they washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria. And the dogs licked up his blood. And the prostitutes washed themselves in it, according to the word of the Lord that he has spoken. Now the rest of the act of Ahab, and all that he did, and the ivory house that he built, and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the books, in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place. Shall we close our eyes and pray? Father, we pray for our kids. We pray that today's teachings will further deepen the awareness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that their hearts will be well textured to receive God's word from Hannah. And we pray that as we expose them to this teaching very early, as they grow in it, they will not depart from this learning, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for leading us through, Tosin, and for reading through all of those difficult names in that passage. I thought he did a fantastic job. I wouldn't have liked to have been in his shoes with that passage. Welcome. If you're here and you're new and haven't met you already, my name's Rob. I'm the pastor of the church. It's great to have you with us this evening. And we do have a little bit of time afterwards for some food and drink, so you'll have a chance to chat to some people and share the things that God has been speaking to you. But we are getting to this final episode in our Bible series, looking through 1 Kings, and we're in this last chapter together. There's something you might not know about me, and it's that I've got itchy ears. Does anyone have itchy ears? I actually do have really itchy ears. They're more itchy because they're like, but the skin behind the ear is really itchy. It gets dry, probably because of the change of weather. I don't think I've got like, what's the skin thing? No, leprosy. What's the other one? Eczema. I don't think I've got eczema or leprosy, but it just gets itchy. It gets really itchy. Now, I'm not telling you that because I want you to feel sorry for me, although I do. Sympathy is quite nice sometimes, isn't it? It infuriates my wife because she'll see me just going, she's like, stop itching your ears. And now I've told you, you'll probably come to me and tell me, stop itching your ears. And I'm not looking for sympathy, though that would be nice. The Bible says that there is a problem that we have, and it's with itchy ears. And it's not because of our skin, but it's because of our sin. Okay? Clever. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy. It says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. They will not endure sound teaching, having itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth. Now, if ever there was an example of that in the Bible, it's with King Ahab. King Ahab has already heard from God what is going to happen as a result of his sin. He's heard the judgments that are spoken against him. But if ever there was an example of someone gathering around themselves, loads of people who are going to tell them a slightly better future, better reality for him than is King Ahab. We see him, don't we, gathering around 400 men in verse 6. He gathered them together. He's got a huge party going on with these 400 prophets and with the other king, the king from the south, Jehoshaphat. And it's a party to tell him how great he's going to be in the battle that he's going up to win. Yeah, that's the purpose of the party. And it's thumping. You know, ever been to one of those parties where everyone's going in unison? This would be the "we love your Ahab" party, okay? And everyone is together praying, "Oh, Ahab's great. We love Ahab." And he's got all his mates around him. He's got all the people who are going to say that. And he is doing just that. He is wanting to hear something. It doesn't matter if it's the truth. And that's the point. He's wanting to hear something. It doesn't matter whether or not it's the truth. Now, I think, and there's a picture. Don't know why it's coming up like that. Sorry. Ahab has itchy ears. Because God has told him about the judgment that he faces. In the last chapter, chapter 21, just look down at your page. Just before the big number 22, little number 19, it says, "And you shall say to him, Elijah, thus says the Lord, have you killed and taken possession?" That was of Naboth's vineyard. "And you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your own blood." It's not great news for Ahab, is it? But he has done something wrong. He has caused injustice. Remember? We looked at it last week. The big injustice of taking someone else's stuff. And then in order to cover up what he'd done, killed him. Or in order to do what he'd done, he killed him. And God says, "I'm not happy with you." And he says, "There's a judgment coming for you." But, get this, Ahab doesn't like that kind of message. He wants something a bit more cheerful. A bit more happy vibe. You know? You get that, don't you, today? People want to hear something that is just affirming. They want to hear something that just says, "You're great. You're doing great." And it's very, very popular, isn't it, to try, you hear people say, don't you, push away all the people that have negative thoughts about you. Don't listen to them. Who do you listen to? The people who have positive things to say about you. It's very contemporary, isn't it? Around us, all these people are saying, itching ears, "You're great. There's nothing that you're doing that's wrong, Rob. And everyone loves you, and you're a fantastic guy." Yeah? They're the people that we want to gather around us. But is that true? And that's the problem, isn't it? There's a delusion to that kind of way of living. Because actually, some of the negative stuff is true. As in, we're not fantastic people. And it is pretty annoying when I've got itching ears. And if I just said, "I'm not going to spend time with my wife because she's telling me that. I'm just going to have other people who say it's fantastic." I'm not really engaging with the truth. So Ahab has itching ears. He's even got this guy, Zedekiah. And if you look down in the middle of the party, verse 11, this guy, Zedekiah, he's really going for it, okay? I would love to have a demonstration. Maybe I'll get Sam to do one at some point. He grabs some horns. He's going to be really expressive about the victory that Ahab is going to have over the Ben-Hadad and the Aram army. And so he picks up some horns and he says, and he starts dancing around with them, but then he puts them on his head and he pretends to be the bull himself, goring the enemy. That's how kind of vivid and exciting this party is, right? Bit weird for us, maybe. But everyone's having a great time at this party. Ahab's having a fantastic time. But it's all a delusion. Because the Lord has spoken and his judgment has been proclaimed. It's been pronounced on Ahab. This whole party is a delusion. And what does God do? Well, he actually ruins Ahab's party. And how does he ruin Ahab's party? Well, let's look. He tells him the truth. And the truth is enough to ruin Ahab's party. What does he do? He sends this guy Micaiah. Micaiah is a prophet. Similar to the name Micah, isn't it, in the Old Testament. And this guy comes out, and they dig him out of somewhere. I think they've got him in prison. So they say, "Bring him quickly." actually, it's Jehoshaphat, the other king's idea to have Micaiah come up, because he says, have you not even got one of these prophets of the Lord, of Yahweh? And so Ahab's like, well, I do have this one, but he's so lousy. He only tells me bad things about me. I don't want to listen to him. Oh, okay, I have to go get him. Bring him out. And then he says, Micaiah, in verse 13, prophesies against Ahab. Well, in fact, he doesn't first off, right? He says, as he's going in, the messenger says to him, or the person who brings him in, says, by the way, Micaiah, just so you know, everyone in there has said some lovely things. Please don't ruin the party. It's fantastic, okay? Don't bring the mood down. Don't do what you usually do. Just give the good stuff, okay? Tell him he's going to win, like everyone else. And Micaiah says, I have to speak the words that the Lord gives me, in verse 14. As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that will I speak. And when Micaiah had come to the king said to him, well, shall we go up to battle, or shall we refrain? Micaiah answered him. This is such a clever answer. Because we expect him to say, don't go up to battle. He doesn't say that. What does he say? Go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king. The Bible says sometimes that we need to answer fools according to their folly. Ahab is a man who's bent on going to war, and he's made his mind up. And Micaiah surprises him. He says the opposite of what he expects him to say. And then you see the response of Ahab. The king said to him, and he gives himself away. He says in verse 16, how many times shall I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? And then Micaiah said, oh, I didn't realize you were after the truth. I didn't realize that's what you were after. I thought you were just after me to tell you that you're going to be great and you're going to win. Oh, sure. If it's the truth you want, okay. Verse 17, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. He's been killed. Let each return to his home in peace. So if you want the truth, Ahab, you're going to die. If you go up to battle, you're going to lose, because the Lord is not with you, and he's going to bring judgment on you. And that's not what Ahab wants to hear. You can see it kills the mood, doesn't it? As the party is not thumping anymore, and Ahab says, did I not tell you, verse 18, that he would not prophesy good, but evil? Useless. I don't want to hear that. And I think we don't want to hear that either. We don't want to hear the word that challenges us. And particularly in the culture that we're in. Young people, listen to this, because everyone will say, just look for your own identity and just don't care what anyone says. Just be you, yeah? That is a satanic thing, people are saying. Because if you say, I'm not going to listen to any other voice other than me, you're not going to listen to the God who made you. And that would be to be in a delusion. And so that actually is not going to help you in the long term. If there is negative things to be heard, hear them. And reckon with the hard things. Don't just be naive or immature and say, I'm just going to keep my head. I don't want to hear any of those thoughts. You have to think about these things. The Bible presents some hard truths. And it says that God is a holy God, and that he is right to punish sin. And if we just say, I'm not in the right headspace for that, we hide behind something else, and we say, I'm just not going to hear the negative things. We are doing what Ahab did, burying our head in the sand, and he's living a lie. But God tells him the truth. He's incredibly kind. He's done it again and again and again. He comes to him and he says, this is the truth. And he tells Ahab, actually, in verse 18, more than that. He tells them that those he is listening to are lying to him. Verse 19, and Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing beside him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said one thing, and another said another. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, saying, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, by what means? And he said, I will go out, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go out and do so. And then just so Ahab can't miss the point, verse 23, Micaiah gives him the summary. This is about you. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets. The Lord has declared disaster for you. Now, sometimes people get a bit uncomfortable with the fact that the Lord sends the deceiving spirit here. Because we kind of know that doesn't really fit. As in, we have our systematic theology, our biblical framework, and we said, well, the Lord doesn't lie, does he? Well, no, he doesn't lie. So then how do we get our head around the fact that the Lord is saying, in the throne room of heaven, he's saying, I'm going to send a lying spirit to the mouths of the prophets? Well, he actually tells Ahab that that's what he did. So it's no longer a deception. It's no longer a deception if he's told Ahab. He said, he's laid it all bare and he said, this is what these people are. They have a lying spirit in their mouths and they've been lying to you. And Ahab now cannot say, I didn't know. He can't now say, I just didn't really know that they were lying to me. The Lord has told him plain and simple, there is a lying spirit in their mouths. We don't often get to see this behind the scenes, do we, in the Bible? You know, when we get the behind the scenes of what's going on in the heavenly realms. The world we live in is a physical world, and there is a, behind that is a spiritual. And sometimes, just a few times actually in the Bible, God pulls back the physical, what's going on here and now, and he shows us the spiritual stuff. What's going on. Can anyone think of any examples of that? There are very few in the Bible. Thank you. Job chapter 1, right? Why is Job... What happened? Well, it's a discussion in heaven between Satan, the angel, Satan, and God. And here we get the same kind of thing. We get to hear what the conversation is in heaven. The Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of the prophets, of Ahab's prophets. So is Ahab going to carry on listening to the lie? Well, if he is, he's doing it knowingly, willingly. That's what he's doing. God tells him that those he is listening to are lying to him. That's the second thing he does to ruin Ahab's party. Lovely singing. Now, what's Ahab going to do? He's made up his mind. He's going to go into battle. Is he going to listen to God? Is he going to take on board the truth of what's going to happen to him? I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. They have no master. They each return to his home in peace. Is he going to listen to that truth? Is he going to listen to the fact that those he would listen to are lying to him? What's he going to do? Well, in verse 29, I'll tell you what he does. He tries to fool God. He tries to fool God. That's what he does, doesn't he? Verse 30. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle. But you, Jehoshaphat, wear your robes. So you get a sense that Ahab knows there's some power in this word, right? Because if he didn't think there was any power in this word, why is he doing what he did? But he is. He's disguising himself. He thinks he can fool God. And that's what sin is like. The delusion is that we think we can hide from God. We think we can. We think that the wall we can pull over other people's eyes is the same as the wall we can pull over God's eyes, as if he can be fooled into. So this is the situation. Ahab says to his mate Jehoshaphat, I'm going to disguise myself and you go in your own royal robes. What's he hoping for? Well, he's hoping that the other army will see the guy in the robes and think, oh, that's the king of Israel. Let's go for him and kill him instead. And all the while, Ahab thinks he's going to be perfectly fine. He's heard the clear word from the Lord, you will surely die. And he thinks he can get around it. He still thinks there's some way to sort of work his plan and to get out of the way of God's judgment. This is a really funny story that I heard of in the news. There was these three people, and they turned up at an airport in Algeria, and they were trying to fly to Dubai, and three people, and then the people thought, well, that's a bit weird, you know, okay, all flying together. They started to check their passports, didn't add up. Then they pulled down their things, and they realized there were three blokes pretending to be Arab women, right? It's that kind of level of stupidity that we think we can fool God, isn't it? We think that's going to work somehow. But that's what Ahab said. I can just disguise myself, and somehow God is going to be fooled. And yet sin makes us that delusional. It makes us think that that is a way forward, that that will actually work for us. And actually, Ahab would have done so much better to just humble himself and say, I've done the wrong thing here. Hands up, I've done the wrong thing. I own up to it. But instead, he tries to work it his way around with a dress up and thinks that God is going to be fooled by that. If he can fool other people, maybe he can fool God. But what happens with Ahab? Let me take that off the screen. What happens with Ahab? Well, have a look down. Verse 32, and when the captain of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is surely the king of Israel. So he's fooled them. So they turned to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And when the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. But a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the scale armor and the breastplate. Whenever the Bible says something was at random, you kind of have to realize it's kind of just using that as a rhetorical thing, right? It's not random. The point is, that's what the Lord said would happen to Ahab. He says, you go out to battle against them, Israel would be scattered on the hills, there would be no master, the master would be killed in battle. And that's exactly what happened to Ahab. He says, carry me out of the battle, for I am wounded. Battle continued that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians until at evening he died. God's word of judgment is always going to be fulfilled. It's always going to be fulfilled. And so when God speaks a hard word to us, he's not doing it because he's unloving. He's not doing it because he's deceiving us. He's actually doing the opposite. He's saying, this is what you need to hear. There is a judgment for sin. And it's in the example of Ahab, it was immediate. But actually, for all of us, we're all going to face death. And God's word of judgment was fulfilled against Ahab. It wasn't a random arrow. You can be the most powerful man on this earth. You can have the best disguise. You can have the decoy set up. You could be in the chariot, on the edge of the battle, in the safest place you think you could possibly position yourself. And you know what? Death is going to find you there. And the judgment of God is coming. And so we mustn't fool ourselves into thinking God's word is not going to be fulfilled. Even if it takes time, even if it's not immediate, it will be fulfilled. And it was for Ahab. God's word of judgment was fulfilled against him. He died. And actually, it was fulfilled, wasn't it? The place where the chariot was cleaned and washed, all the blood ended up where the dogs licked up the blood. So God's word is fulfilled exactly as he said it was going to be. Now, this isn't a cheerful story for us, is it? It's not something that we think, oh, fantastic, you know, it's a really happy thing to read about. It is pretty sad, isn't it, to read of someone who is bent on their own demise, and where sin makes us foolish to the point where we're not going to repent and we're not going to go back and confess our sins. This isn't a happy end to Ahab. And yet, it's not the end of the story for the people of Israel. Remember God promised that there would be a remnant in the land. And the people in the southern kingdom have joined the fight, probably quite foolishly, actually. But God even preserves them in this moment from complete extinction. And through that, through the king that would come through Jehoshaphat's line, would be King Jesus. And that line that we got earlier on, where it says about, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. Does that ring a bell to anyone? Because in the New Testament, we get Jesus being described as those who saw the people scattered, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So the New Testament is saying to us, he is the one who's come to undo all of these evil kings and all of this injustice. And he has come to be the true king for God's people. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He is the king we need. As we heard earlier from Tosin, he's the king without sin. So his justice can be fully established on the earth and will be one day. And the question is, are we on the right side of that? Are we on the right side of Jesus? Are we with him or are we against him? And God is kind to us to confront us with the reality of our sin and where it leads us. And we can do the Ahab thing all day long. We can say, I've heard this word from the Bible, but you know what? I don't like it. I don't like it. What I want is another word. I want a different word to say to me, you're fine. Just keep going. You're doing the right thing. That feels comfortable. But that's a delusion. And God interrupts our delusion. He ruins the party, the We Are Great party, and he says, we are sinners. We need a saviour. So which voice are you going to listen to? Is it going to be the voice around you? The ones of the people that perhaps you have gathered to yourself because they're people who affirm you? Or is it going to be the voice of the Lord? The true voice. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you don't leave us in our delusion, in sin. Thank you that you wake us up to the truth of your word, that you speak a true word into our lives. Thank you that you tell us of what is coming so that we would not be unaware. And thank you that you're kind to do that, that you have revealed that so that we may not face that judgment. Thank you that you sent your son into the world as the true shepherd, the one who would lay down his life for the sheep. Please would we listen to him. Please would we want to obey him and listen to his voice, because he has done that for us. And help us, Lord. We're so prone to just surrounding ourselves with people who tell us what we want to hear. So we pray that you continue to speak into our lives, into our hearts, that we would not just be listening to the things that make us seem better than we are. And we pray that you would put this repentance in our own heart, that we would just come to you and admit what we have been like and what we have done. Pray that we wouldn't work a plan, a way around to try and avoid that, but that we would come to you and thank you that you are willing to forgive us. And thank you that you have sent your son so that we might have your righteousness, so that we would be able to draw near to you and not face your judgment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.